Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, found where all your favorite podcasts may be located. Whether that be iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, you know the drill. Wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, if you like to listen on Pandora, I'm sure you can find us there as well. The Locked On Podcast Network will be bringing you shows from your favorite teams Monday through Friday throughout the entire COVID situation. As I've mentioned many, many times, we've been doing our look at the Braves top 30, the breakdown of my personal top 30 for the Atlanta Braves. We're finally about to get into the top 20 after today's episode. We've got numbers 22 and 21 today. Oddly enough, both relief pitchers, not something you generally see all that often in top 30s. Generally, reliever prospects are down towards the bottom. Both these guys today, though, very, very high upsides. Very excited about both of them as the Braves really look like they've done a good job identifying some guys that should be very, very good in the back end of the bullpen. So without further ado, I do want to kind of explain my process a little bit. If you guys pay attention, you'll notice that I tend to gravitate towards ceilings on my comparisons. I don't tend to comp floors. And I do that for a very specific reason. One, I don't really like comping to floors. To me, it's a little bit more boring. It's a little bit more hedging your bets. I'd rather aim over than under for most of these guys. I'd rather look at the high side, and if I'm wrong, oh well. I get excited about a lot of these prospects, so I don't like comping to floors. To me, it's kind of protecting yourself a little bit more than it is going out there, because nobody wants to look at a guy and say, oh, he's going to be Juan Lagares. You're hoping that they're going to be better than that. If you see a floor as a Juan Lagares, that's fine. Just my personal preference. I like to comp towards ceilings. It makes me more excited to do it. And I'm not really concerned about if I'm wrong or not. I mean, somebody will harangue me for it either way, so I don't really care. I'd rather be excited about the guy and be excited about what he can become than give him a really low comp and him come out and blow me out of the water. I'd rather aim for the high side. I like looking on the bright side anyway. So just little explanations for why I do what I do. But without further ado, let's get started. Number 22, Casey Kalich, the reliever, the fourth round pick out of Texas A&M in last year's draft. Really, really good body size, 6'3", 220. Kalich is a pure reliever. He's not going to be a starter. Spent a year or two in JUCO before transferring over to Texas A&M. The two-pitch guys, fastball, slider. This is a guy, though, that should be a very fast mover through the system. As I mentioned, being in Texas A&M, he faced a lot of outstanding competition and was really, really good. Had over 13 strikeouts per nine in the SEC, which is nothing to sneeze at. The SEC, of course, very, very good in just about every sport, but baseball and football among the tops, especially when you look at teams like Vanderbilt, Georgia for the most part last year. Florida is always a powerhouse. There's a lot of Ole Miss has been really good. LSU obviously has been one of the best teams in the nation for a while now. A lot of great baseball teams and baseball schools in the SEC. And Casey Kalich went out there and more than held his own. I believe he had a 3.18 ERA in college his last year, which not bad at all when you're considering guys are using metal bats and you're facing other super high draft picks. That should lend itself to him being a very fast mover through this system. His fastball sits mid-90s, usually sits between 93 and 95, but he tops out at about 97. Very, very good, so he's got a good hard throw to go along with that big body size and that big frame. He's got his number one pitch, though, is not the fastball, despite the fact that he can run it up their high 90s. It is his slider. His slider is his swing and miss pitch. That's going to be the one that sets him apart in the big leagues. That tends to be a feature with the Atlanta Braves. If you notice, when they take relievers, they tend to be guys with really, really good sliders. I've already talked about Trey Riley and his wipeout slider. We've talked about Kyle Wright before. We'll talk about him later on once we move down the list. His slider is also fantastic. The Braves have a theme, and they like guys that throw really, really good sliders. And Kalich is no exception. Because slider is such a good pitch. It's one that has so much horizontal movement, and you can vary the speed so much. You've got some guys that throw it up 87, 88. Some guys throw theirs down 84, 83. But it just does such a good job of moving at the point of impact that it's really hard to square up a good slider. Now, granted, if you hang one, it's going a long way, but obviously the objective is not to hang it. So one of the things about Kalich that I like, he's also working very hard on a changeup. He wants to add a third pitch into that repertoire. And if he can get that changeup to even just be league average, that'll help his fastball play even better. Because as I've said multiple times, while the wipeout pitch is awesome, everything is predicated on your fastball. There are very few pitchers that are successful working backwards. And what I mean by working backwards is guys that use their off-speed or use their fastball to set up their off-speed or will go to off-speed and fastball counts, et cetera, et cetera. So Kalich working on a changeup is very, very nice to see. I love his delivery. It's super, super easy. It's very, very simple, and it's very repeatable. And that's very important when you're talking about release points. The easier and the simpler your mechanics are, the easier it is to let that ball go at the same spot every time, and the better your command gets. The Braves obviously liked what they saw. He was the first pitcher taken by Atlanta last year. Very kind of different approach from the Braves in last year's draft. They veered away from what they had been doing under Brian Bridges in that regime for a long time, which was taking high school arms early. This one, they didn't take a pitcher till the fourth round, and they took a college reliever. A little bit different, but doesn't mean that it's a bad pick. I'm a big fan of Casey Kalich. Performed as expected against the lesser competition he was facing. I mean, going up against the SEC guys, far more difficult than the guys you're facing in Danville or even Rome for the most part. Carried a really good ground ball rate as well in his limited opportunities. It's hard to get a good peg on what he did because he didn't get a lot of time because he had the college season to deal with too, but I love what I saw out of him there. He could stand to lower the walk rate a little bit. It's a little bit different when you're looking at relievers, especially ones that didn't have a ton of innings because the rates can kind of climb on you even if they're not walking a ton of people. A couple bad outings can really influence your walk rate. But if he can get that into I'd like to see him get it somewhere in the mid to low threes. I'm not expecting him to ever be a guy that's going to carry a walk rate under three. That's just not his type of game. He's more predicated on getting the swings and misses. So whenever you're trying to be a higher strikeout pitcher, obviously you're going to walk more people because you're going to throw more pitches off the plate. The name of the game is to find that right balance between keeping balls in the zone and causing hitters to chase. So I love what I see from him. Maybe we'll see that walk rate lower as he rises and umpires get a little bit better. I don't really see him as a closer. I know a lot of people do. A lot of people are kind of talking about him maybe being a future lockdown closer. I don't quite see that. It's not that I don't think he could do it. I think that there's some better options, though, in the Braves system when you're looking at that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. The closer thing has kind of gotten a little bit out of hand, where a lot of people think that's kind of the only reliever that matters, or that means he's the best reliever. High leverage is more important to me than closer. Closer just happens to be whoever gets the last three outs. And for a guy like Casey Kalich, if he can have that walk rate trimmed down a little bit, he's a guy that's going to be reliable in pretty much every situation. If he can really add that changeup, it's going to take away the advantage of lefties. Because guys that are primarily slider pitchers for their main pitch, they can tend to struggle against opposite-handed hitters. But with Kalich, I like what I see from him. I think he'll be a very valuable bullpen piece. I think he's going to come up very, very quickly. I wouldn't be shocked to see him spend a good bit of time in Mississippi this year, maybe even get up to Gwinnett should everything progress the way it should be, once the season eventually gets underway, of course. As for comparisons, it's kind of hard to come up with one right now since he hasn't really played comparable competition. He's played guys lower than he should be right now coming out of college. And that's just because he just went through an entire college season, comes out and got a little bit of time in Rome. I'll be very excited to revisit this one maybe next year or the season before, depending on whenever the minor league season gets up. But for now, I think Luke Jackson would be a good place to start. And I know that's going to set a lot of people off because a lot of people hate Luke Jackson. But if you really dig into Luke Jackson's numbers, it tells a different story. Luke is a guy that strikes out a ton of people, gets a ton of ground balls. Kalich does as well. Heavy fastballs, but the slider is the main pitch for both of them. Kalich is a little bit bigger, a little bit stockier. Fastballs are relatively close velocity-wise. Kalich tops out about 97. Usually Luke will sit around 95, 96. But the sliders are most definitely the place that both of these guys' bread is going to be buttered. And I think that if Kalich comes up and has a Luke Jackson type of career, 2019 Luke Jackson, I'm saying, not 2018 and beyond where he was DFA'd all the time. But if Kalich can be 2019 Luke Jackson, that is a very, very valuable piece in the bullpen. And I'm very excited about that. I'm also very excited to talk about my number 21 prospect. But before we do that, we're going to have to take a quick break. Got to pay for the show and everything. So stay right there. When we come back, we'll be looking at number 21, another reliever, one of my favorite and one of my TPS partner Doc Herbert's favorite as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this. Do you hate stepping on the scale? I know I do. Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings has produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for their durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Just step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't even have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you have to keep your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal, guys. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at Withings.com for a very limited time. Go to Withings.com, that's Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. That's Withings, Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Getting right back into our prospect breakdowns. Number 21, as I mentioned before the break, a partner of mine, Doc Herbert, my illustrious partner who works at Talking Chop and very, very hard on the Platinum Sombrero podcast. One of his favorite players in the Brave system, and one of mine as well, is Daisbell Hernandez, the hard-throwing reliever out of Cuba. Signed in 2017 for $190,000. Daisbell is a solid chunk of man at 5'10, 220 pounds. That's the listing. He might be a little bit heavier than that. We'll call him stocky. I think that's the right word for Daisbell. What I like about him so much is the approach. He is a no-nonsense guy. He doesn't play around. He goes right after hitters. He's not afraid to challenge anybody, and really he shouldn't be. He's got a 70-grade fastball. It's a heavy, heavy fastball. It's upper 90s, got good riding life on it. What I mean by heavy is it appears to get on you a lot faster than it really does anyway. He's already throwing high 90s, but it's got a lot of ride on it as well. A very, very good fastball. Very few people with an actual 70-grade fastball. Daisbell is one of them. His slider, though, not to be outdone, in flashes, that slider shows flashes of being a plus pitch to maybe even a little bit better than that, of being a wipeout type of slider. As I mentioned, Braves love their slider, guys. The problem with Daisbell, when he's right and his release point is on, that slider is absolutely devastating. It is a put-away pitch to rival basically any other reliever in the systems. The problem is, I had to say when he's right, because he struggles with his release point a lot, which can make his slider kind of loopy, more of a sweeping curve than a true slider, which at that point will then get hit around by really good competition. So the name of the game for him, he has to be more consistent with his release point. That's also when the walks can start piling up on him, which is the main drawback to Daisbell. If you guys paid attention to the AFL, Daisbell did not have a great showing. I believe he had 10 walks and 11 in a third innings or something like that. A lot of that has to do with his release point, because for the most part, his 2019 season was really, really good. He showed off a lot of dominant back-end potential, but like the AFL, I said, 10 walks in 11 innings. He's got to find a way to be more consistent with his delivery. If he can do that, he needs to iron that out really, really, really badly, really. I'd look for him to kind of simplify his mechanics a little bit. If he can do that, he'll cut down on the walks, and if he cuts down on the walks, he'll be a far, far better pitcher. He doesn't give up home runs throughout his entire career in the minor leagues. Now, granted, a lot of his time has been spent in Florida. Now, once he goes through Mississippi, it'll be the same because Mississippi's Trustmark is notoriously hard to get a ball out of. That's where home runs go to die. So you really won't, we really won't be able to gauge his home run rate, his true home run rate, really until he gets to Gwinnett and starts playing with the Major League Baseball. But I mean, I'm not gonna dock him points for it. He's done a really good job, even among a lot of the other Braves, a lot of his fellow pitchers in Florida. He's done a great job at limiting home runs. It's just the walks. I mean, he struck out almost 12 per nine last season. He trimmed his walk rate under four. If he can get that, if he can get that consistently to sit there, that's what I'm talking about with solidifying his delivery. Because if he doesn't solidify his delivery, if he keeps having the issues with his mechanics that he's having now, over the course of a full season, he's going to always have these period of stretches where he looks amazing and then periods of stretches where he just can't find the strike zone. It's going to be a lot like Chad Sabatka, where Sabatka, when he loses his mechanics, all of a sudden is serving up meatballs or walking the entire world. That's the danger with Deisbel Hernandez. When you're looking at guys like Deisbel who have incredible arm talent but don't have the requisite mechanics behind it or the requisite release point behind it, they're more throwers than they are pitchers. And while I am a big believer in Deisbel Hernandez, I think he will get there. I think he will do it. He does have a long way to go right now. He's got to solidify that delivery. If he does, he's going to be an absolute stud. I'm not certain he's ever going to be a multi-inning guy. He's got a lot of violence in his delivery. Might lead some to worry about some shoulder issues later on. It might not be a guy that's got a 12, 13-year career. Guys that have a very violent delivery and a very violent release don't tend to last long before the shoulder problems start kind of kicking in a little bit. But he hasn't had any of those issues so far, so I don't want to just throw out there something that, you know, he's shown no potential of having right now. It's just something to keep an eye on when you take a look and you watch him throw. It definitely leads itself to be more of a one-inning guy. He doesn't look like a guy to me that's going to throw multiple innings. But when he's right, as I keep saying, when he's right, I don't think there's a better reliever in the system right now than Deisbel Hernandez when he's on. It's that little question of when he's on. And I would expect him, once play resumes, I would expect him to start the season in Mississippi. Had a really good time at Florida. I don't think there's much else for him to learn there. He's 23 already, so it's about time to move him up against some higher-end competition and see what he's really got. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Again, Trustmark is not going to be hard to keep the home runs out because it's, you know, it's a cavernous ballpark anyway, and the ball doesn't seem to fly there very much. But it'll be good to see him against some older competition, some more experienced hitters, to see if his slider really can play up that well. I have no doubts about his fastball, but it's nearly impossible to be successful as a reliever just throwing a four-seam fastball. You've got to have another pitch, especially if you want to be a high strikeout guy, because guys in the big leagues can hit your fastball, and if that's all you throw, you're going to get mashed. So he's got to have a handle on that slider. I'm hoping when he comes back from this break, when everybody comes back from this break, we're going to see him with a more normalized delivery and more simplified mechanics, so he can repeat where he releases the ball a whole lot more. If he can do that, his slider will be awesome. I don't think he's a guy that really needs a third pitch. He might be. He's been working on a changeup. I'm not really certain that he's ever really going to get there with it. Quite honestly, I don't really care if he does or not. His fastball and his slider are so good that I would rather him focus more on command and control than add in another third pitch to the repertoire. I'd rather him go ahead and simplify his mechanics and get himself repeatable and more in touch with those two pitches than try to add another pitch and split his focus that way. I'm really looking forward to watching him progress. I'm a big, big fan of Deisbel Hernandez. So one of these guys where I have to try to catch myself to make sure I don't throw some super crazy comparison out there. I was kind of looking around at what I think, and I think a good comp for him is Chad Green from the Yankees. Green had a bad 2019, but before then, he's a high strikeout guy. Another guy whose mechanics can kind of get away from him at times, and then the walks will start piling up. It's hard to judge home run rates when you play in little league ballparks like the AL East, but Chad Green for a number of years has been an outstanding reliever, really high impact guy, tons and tons of strikeouts. That's what I'm expecting from Deisbel. I don't know when he'll make his debut. There's an outside shot. You could see it in 2020 if everything just goes super swimmingly and he jumps up three divisions. Usually you don't see relievers jump three levels. That's a hard thing to do. I would expect 2021 would be the earliest you'll see him, especially because the Braves bullpen does have a lot of depth right now. I think 2021 would be a good watermark for when you might see Deisbel get a shot here in Atlanta. I'm excited to see him do it, man. If he can, it's all about that delivery. If he can simplify that, if he can repeat it, I'm telling you guys, Deisbel Hernandez has dominant back end of the bullpen potential. I said Casey Kalish. I didn't think Casey Kalish would be a closer type guy. If Deisbel can be consistent and he can make it to where he can release his slider the same spot every time, that's a guy that I think has dominant back end potential. You could see me change that comparison going forward. I have to see him make those changes before I give him a bigger comparison. But I'm a big fan. I'm very, very excited to see what happens with Deisbel. So, Doc, I know you're listening. I know you're happy to hear me give Deisbel some love. To the rest of you guys out there, we'll be back tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll be breaking into our top 20 finally as we get to numbers 20 and 19. And we will be revisiting some oldies but goodies, some guys that you guys have definitely heard of before, some 2019 and some 2018 love. Actually, two 2019 guys. I'm sorry. We'll get to a couple of picks from the 2019 draft class, some guys that I'm very, very excited about, and you guys should be too. But we'll get to that tomorrow. Same place right here on Locked On Braves.